But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Warm up the grill, grab a beverage, and paint your face.
How do you like yours, Clark?
Oh, medium rare, a little pink inside.
Now you're fine. Light or dark?
This is Danny and Dusty on Conference Championship Week.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Vicki, can I help you with that Kool-Aid? Please.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey, happy Friday. What's happening? Football Friday.
Basketball Friday.
Don't try that. Stop trying to make fetch a thing.
Whoa. Is football being played today?
He knew that.
Football being played today?
He knew what we were talking about.
No. Is football being played today?
No, but you fail to understand Football King. We still think of Conference Championship Week, nay, Blazers at Charlotte.
Yeah, there's a reason why all this week's opens have been sponsored and such and not for Trailblazers hoops.
And it is a Football Friday, and you should be very football-y because the Raiders didn't screw up their head coach hire. How about that?
No, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled.
It is a Football Friday.
It is.
Take that.
And I'm honoring my guy today.
In a USC
sweatshirt. I am.
Well, that really does make sense because you guys are still living in the times when Pete Carroll was the coach.
Yep. It's a good place to be. It's warm and like my Snuggie.
It is. I think, is next year going to be the year where there wasn't a single recruit that was alive when
they'd be 20. Yeah,
they'd be 20. So this past year, there was no recruits alive when USC had their last title vacated.
It's almost like the entire history of the Oregon Ducks.
Isn't that it? Well, no. They've actually played in significant games, like a national championship game.
Oh, wow. Played in games. Yep. Oh, that's what we're doing now. We're lowering that bar, are we? All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed.
You should know about lowering bars. You are a Raiders fan.
Yeah, 1983.
That's some great mental gymnastics that you're doing there. It is like, my dad used to tell me how good the Jets were.
That was never true, though.
It was. They won Super Bowls. But I was like, I don't know that. That was 20 years before I was born. You know?
Yeah. I don't remember Joe Namath rolling around in a fur coat.
No.
Before I was born, even.
I'll take your statesman on this show. Take your word for it. A couple years, the Jets have been good.
Yeah.
But then they kind of like just get in their own way. And when they get something good that's going, they find a way to screw it up. Like, USC's the Jets, man.
No.
Really?
Not in any way, shape, matter, or form.
Really? They're not?
No, the team that has won multiple national titles over the course of football history through various decades while having multiple Heisman winners, multiple...
You can't win a Heisman trophy in the NFL.
Yeah, if we're talking about accolades, yeah, no.
Well, I don't know, man. Jets have championships.
Uh-huh. When was the last one?
I don't know. 1968.
Okay.
Was that it? 68?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But I hear about how good they were.
Sure.
Yeah. They've won their division and played for a conference championship.
Joe Namath has more 3,000 and 4,000-yard seasons as a quarterback than the Chicago Bears do as a franchise.
Yeah.
That's still nasty.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
That's, like...
I was surprised to see that, actually, because I just pulled it up.
No,
I
it's a...
I didn't think he ever surpassed 3,000 even, but...
Yeah.
No, it's a real thing. It's gross.
Yeah.
They threw for 4,000 in 1967.
Did they? Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Oh,
but with 26 touchdowns and 28 interceptions.
Yeah.
Still a Pro Bowler.
But you can go back and you can look at USC played in three conference championship games.
Mm-hmm.
So have the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and they didn't win any of them, just like the Jets.
Kind of sounds like USC equals the Jets.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, I mean.
Thank God you got that one conference title game. Thank God you got it.
Oh, no. They have, I don't know if you remembered, they won a couple others, too. You know? In the Pac-12.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Like four of them.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, we got you triggered.
No,
we
you don't
got
have
you triggered.
Triggered.
No, we got you triggered.
That's the same thing Duck fan always does. It's like, what about this? What about this? What about this? Like, yeah. No.
We're going to have to keep an eye out for crimes that occur in Newburgh this weekend,
aren't
we? Golly.
You don't stack
just,
up
I mean,
at all.
Triggered.
In any way.
It's okay, man.
Shape, matter, or form.
It's okay.
It's okay. Win one.
Okay.
Win one.
Yep.
One.
They're working on it. They're trying, man.
Singular.
This text on the Vancouver Ford text line, USC is the Raiders, living in the past and now dysfunctional. And if they could get out of their own way, they'd have tons of advantages.
No, the Raiders won't have tons of advantages.
Yeah.
The ownership there will not allow that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish it were the case, but when your owner is cash poor, it's just not.
Dang.
It's not something that's ever going to happen.
Yeah. But they're figuring it out. They do have advantages. Being in Nevada, being in Vegas, close to LA.
Most of those advantages have come back to bite them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like being out drunk at 2:00 in the morning and killing somebody.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Uh-uh.
That wasn't good.
No. And the,
but now you
and
have
the number of like incidents they've had because they're
bad.
In Vegas.
It's been bad.
It's been really bad. And a lot of them like don't even reach the national news. They're just quietly kept in the local market. And it's like awesome. And I get you understand why leagues for so long didn't want teams there. And it wasn't the gambling. It was that stuff.
Yeah, it was young people are going to do dumb things.
With young people lots of money and free time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, very, very bad combination.
Right?
Yeah.
Nothing good happens after midnight.
They like to pretend that it's the gambling stuff, but they couldn't wait to get their freaking hands on that money.
But you know what's incredible, though, is that it's like, that isn't said about New York or L.A. Or L.A. You know? It's not said about New York or L.A., but...
Because it's different.
If you think about nightlife,
yeah.
and the only difference is the gambling... You know, but like when you think
legal
of nightlife,
and I mean, there's more Vegas. I mean, it's Sin City. For
it
a
is
reason.
Sin City.
Yeah,
but I mean,
look, man, I went into a.
We thinking that
room.
If you are we thinking though that if a professional athlete doesn't want to get a lady of the night, they can't get a lady of the night in any city.
No,
that they're
it's,
in?
It's actually quite easy. In fact,
it's like why the Super Bowl has whatever town is hosting the Super Bowl. Those numbers go. Whoop,
yeah, those
whoop,
the whoop, talent goes whoop, up quite whoop. Quite a bit.
Who was the guy for the Falcons? Didn't he get popped? Eugene
Robinson.
Robinson. Yeah.
It's actually funny that you mentioned.
He get popped for.
He mentioned Atlanta.
Yeah,
which is
well, he was an Atlanta player, but it was not in Atlanta.
I know, but considering what we were talking about this morning,
yeah.
Do you know Miss Pat? She hops on with Shaq and Spice Adams on the big podcast.
Well, yeah, I remember Miss Pat. She was she's an actress too, right?
Yeah, she's a comedian. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was in Borat.
I've never seen that all the way through, so I couldn't tell you.
No, I don't know.
Cringe comedy. Remember, I can't do it.
Yeah.
My wife.
Yeah.
But she basically said that the ladies of the night have basically taken over the floor seats, particularly in Atlanta. And it's just thrown at players. And she's like, I don't know how anybody else doesn't see this. Maybe it's because I'm fat and I can just sit there and watch it and nobody sees me do it. But yeah, it's pretty out there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they just, they're just front and center, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like, if you...
No, she was not.
If you watch a couple, there's a couple cities that are like that. There's a couple cities. Miami's like that.
Miami.
New York is not like that because the celebrity row is very prestigious, and the Knicks control that with, like, an iron grip.
Well, so is L.A. L.A. is like that, too, where it's like those tickets are... You've got to be somewhere in the middle, right, where you're a very big city... But you don't have a lot of stars that live there. Yeah. What's Dallas like in that? Like, Dallas,
it's too,
may...
It's too texy.
Yeah, well, too much...
They got lots of steers down there.
Yeah. They got too much big money. Whoa.
Stop.
Okay.
But it is Longhorn country. Lots of cows.
Which, shout out to the Oklahoma City fan last night who hit a half-court shot and immediately we went horns down.
Oh, really?
Playing the Mavs.
Hell yeah.
Horns down immediately.
That is a great one.
That is, to have the presence of mind to celebrate and then immediately go horns down.
Yeah. Look,
Oklahoma, you suck. And Texas is just leagues better than you at everything. But that's the kind of pettiness that I love. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Did you see the, I think it was at Nebraska, the putt, full court putt for a Porsche?
No.
Did you see this?
Uh-huh.
Dude nailed a full court putt in like,
which,
I
that's
mean, it was a
so
tiny,
hard
tiny,
to do.
Well, it's like you talk about putting on glass on like a tough green. You're literally on a basketball court, and he nailed a full court putt for a Porsche, and the whole place went crazy.
What? Apparently, he pulled that's off awesome. The perfect like fist yeah. pump, arm
he,
pump.
He yeah. he tigered it.
Tigered it real well.
Yeah, but it was like Country Club Larry the Cable Guy was his look.
But man could putt.
It, well, it, obviously, yeah. yeah.
What's crazy about that is when you see that, you see how uneven a basketball floor is. Is the ball just like, oh, like the ups and downs in the wood? Like, even though it looks flat because it's like covered in resin, they've leveled it out as best they can.
Yeah.
But you just see the ball bouncing and like kind of rolling around, and you're like, but he hit it straight. Why is it?
Well, it's still lots of like, you know, what, inch and a half, 2 inch panels of wood.
Oh, I know. You know, oh, I know. Yeah. But like, you just think like it's flat.
Yeah.
And you don't like, cognizantly realize just how much undulation yeah. there is as it bounces.
Like you that's look at it, you think it's like a pool table, yes. but it is not.
Yeah.
And that's what makes that putt so insane.
Yeah.
Is that, yes, it's 90 feet.
It's not like a hockey rink.
No.
This will not be a surprise to anybody. The Nebraska fan who nailed the putt was wearing a camo hat.
Dad, that's
right on brand. Yeah.
But I bet like all like one of his buddies like was the guy who got drawn for it, and they're like, "No, dude, you have to do this. You're the guy who putts in all of our scrambles. Like, you've got to be the guy.
You can't do that though."
And he nailed it. Like,
he nailed it. The contest rules, man, that stuff is so specific.
Yep.
Like the insurance on that stuff, and like, then, they will not let you change anything. It's so crazy.
Yeah, and he got the keys to the Porsche like on the court.
Ooh.
I guarantee
that's
you.
Cool. They took him away.
I guarantee you he gave that back because you have to pay
the taxes.
They're like, yeah. You're basically just buying that Porsche. It's like, I don't want to do this.
What you do is you take it and you immediately sell it or trade it in somewhere.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
That way you get, you know,
like that Paul Skeens downsize. Card. If you're an 11-year-old living in Los Angeles and you're offered 30 years of Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah. What did he end up getting for that?
I haven't seen a number.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
There's a one-of-one Paul Skeens rookie card.
Okay. That has like it's a signed like piece of his jersey yeah,
from his debut. Yeah.
Did
and it's literally one-of-one. There is a card.
Is he in the spokes of the kid's bike?
So right. Some kid pulled it, and they offer the offer before they found him was two, was it lifetime or 30 years?
30 years.
Two 30
behind home plate.
Behind home plate season tickets
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of like swag, pirate stuff. Like
there was like a private softball game at PNC Park
like,
for you and 30 of your
friends. Good
stuff.
And then Livy Dunn was like, you can come like
hang out with me and my suite during a game.
I was like,
the 11-year-old's like, Ian!
Yeah. But, I mean, the money behind that card is also, if it's in like 8-plus shape, I mean, that thing's worth a fortune.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but.
And he's 11.
This was before anybody knew who pulled it, but some kid eventually ended up pulling it. Yeah.
So what, they're going to lowball that offer now?
I don't think so. I think if it's a kid, you maybe add some more to it.
But like, what's a kid? And you said he's in California.
Put some money in the college fund.
What's a kid in California going to do with two home behind home plate tickets to the Pittsburgh
exactly,
Pirates?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, well, how about you buy two? You know, if he's an LA fan. But maybe not behind home plate because those are a little pricey.
For the Angels.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, if you're going to give them Pirates behind home plate, I mean, let's be real.
Well, it's not Paul's fault they suck.
The equivalent is the Angels.
That feels low. That bar feels low.
You get to see Mike Trout sometimes.
Well, maybe.
I said sometimes.
Yeah. Say maybe for another year.
You sometimes get to see him.
Before he finally gets fed up.
Well, it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Well, if we know anything about the Angels, though, they'll definitely have stars and they'll find a way to screw it up.
Yeah, so, that's true. So you get to see them just, like, watch them.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's tough.
So kind of like the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
I hate cheap owners.
Mm.
Especially in baseball. You have no reason. You print money.
Artie Moreno, man.
You print money.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get this show on the road.
Don't we have an animal fight to talk about?
We do.
We do need to go through that.
We need to get to that today. Yeah. And again, we didn't do it yesterday.
It's because you were too busy trying to trigger me.
Well, that is true. And it worked. It worked. You were feeling it. Okay, we put four animals in a cage. Who's coming out alive? A lion, a gorilla, a grizzly bear, or a python / most dangerous snake you can think of? Anaconda. It's a very large snake in this picture. The responses that I saw to this post on the internet, they just did not make sense. I believe this is clear cut. The three of us have not talked about this at all.
I think it's pretty clear cut myself, too. But
we will take it to the people. A grizzly bear, a lion, a gorilla, and very large snake.
Mm.
Who makes it out of there alive? Parameters are, they're all riled up. They will fight each other.
And they cannot leave.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a death cage.
It sure is. They're all really hungry, but not starving and malnourished.
Yeah. Peak fighting shape.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. We will get to that today. But we didn't get to it right now, and we're not going to get to it next. Because we got conference championship weekend. We've got two head coaches hired in the NFL. What I believe is a surprise to many, firing of an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Where we got to start, though? Oh, boy. Them Blazers last night. They won a game.
Things happened.
They won a game. But I think the Magic lost that one. I think the Magic lost that one. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Blazers won last night in Orlando as 7.5-point dogs, 101-79, beat the living breaks off the Orlando Magic. That was such a weird game to watch because you watched the game and you said, boy, there's a lot of missed shots on one end of the floor and not a substantial amount of made shots on the other end of the floor.
No.
For Portland. Portland played well, and they played well on the defensive end, but they end up winning that game, and Orlando failed to score more than 21 points in a quarter. They scored 21 in the first and did not score over that the rest of the game, and the Blazers ran away with it in that second half, especially 101-79. That was quite the game. It was 54-40 in the second half.
Yeah, and let me preface this by saying the Blazers played well defensively.
They did.
Like the
23 steals.
Defensive playmaking stuff. 14 steals.
14?
Yeah. If you're looking at the ESPN.
Oh, the ESPN thing.
The ESPN feed is so jacked up. 14 steals, 12 blocks.
That's a good day.
Yeah. When you've got 26 stocks, that is a hell of a night.
Damn.
Now, was that all their defensive impact? No. Because Paolo Banchero played the worst game of basketball I've ever seen him play.
That was rough.
It looked like somebody snatched his body. And you go, yeah, the Blazers had some stuff to do with that. And the big thing was Jabari Walker ripping him five times. He had six steals of the night, and I'm almost certain all five of Paolo Banchero's turnovers were as a direct result of Jabari Walker.
But this is something that, as I was watching the game and saying, like, yeah, Paolo Banchero's shots aren't falling, but at the same time, they looked so uncomfortable playing alongside each other, Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. And that was Franz's return from that oblique injury that's kept him out for...
He was on a 20-minute minutes list, or minutes restricted, and ended up going to 24 minutes, and he balled.
But he looked very uncomfortable, like Paolo Banchero looked like he just did not feel that he was in a rhythm, or he started forcing shots up that you're like, this isn't the guy that we've seen the last year and a half of him playing basketball in the NBA.
No, there was a lot of things going on. Number one, the book is out of the Orlando Magic. Go under every single thing that they do offensively. Dare them to shoot. They shot 6 of 25 from 3 last night.
Yeah, because they have like 800 seven-footers.
Yeah, them and the Blazers are the worst shooting teams in the league. Now, one of them is supposed to be a competitive team that's pushing forward. The other one is in the middle of a rebuild that doesn't have a star yet. They supposedly have two. What you saw last night was it's not the thing that's like, it's going to break them, but it's the thing that is absolutely going to prevent them from progressing forward. It's their inability to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game last night, as bad as the Magic were, and I just tweeted this out a little bit ago because I wanted to know how bad the Magic were last night. In the three-point era, so since 1979-1980, 1,236 times,
okay,
in 44 years, a team has shot under 35% from the field and under 25% from three.
Okay.
26 times in NBA history since the advent of three-point line, they have won. And that's what the Magic did last night. So their chances of winning were non-existent.
Yeah, yeah. They did not win the game.
They did not win.
They lost 101-79.
For everybody's like, the Blazers should have lost that game. Do you know the level of suck they would have had to... The Wizards might have beaten that Magic team last night.
Well, let's not get over our skis there.
They were horrendous.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, it was an abomination of basketball.
That was it. It was a very ugly game. And, you know, no Cole Anthony. Did that play a factor?
Sure. He's a guy who's going to space the floor out for you. The difference in this game, yes, the Blazers played very good defensively. It might have been their best defensive performance of the season. All those things. The difference in the game was one of them had a player that could hit threes.
Anthony Simons.
That is the literal difference in this game. Ant goes out there and knocks down 3 of 6 threes. That's it. He's the guy that goes out there and scores. He's the guy that gets downhill. He's the guy that hits a shot when you need a shot to be hit and stretches the defense out.
Okay. Well, he hit shots. Blazers won three in a row, which is not good if you're tanking.
No.
But it is what it is. They've been playing better basketball. Full stop. They've been beating teams that are better than them, and they've won three games in a row. Scoot Henderson, and I think this is one part where you go, maybe a little bit discouraging. The young guys who, like, on this season, you're like, hey, you want to see growth, development from young guys? Scoot did not play well. He fouled out in 14 minutes of play.
And you could, and here's the thing. We talked about this on the post-game show. Scoot, okay, number one, I was surprised that they made the lineup change in the sense of the corporate investment, if that makes sense. I was not surprised in the sense of the coaching investment because Chauncey Billups and so many coaches in the NBA have a rule of not losing your starting spot to injury.
Okay, yeah.
So, and I just, in good conscience, you're not going to start Scoot Henderson over Anthony Simons. You're just not going to do it.
Do you think
not at this point?
And like, I don't know, this may be wildly unfair, but if this game is played in Portland, do we think we still have the lineup change?
Yes. I mean, he bent Shaden here.
Yeah.
Like I'm not sure where I fall on this right yet. Because I ask that question
mm-hmm. because coaches, players don't tank.
Organizations
do.
Well, I'll say this. Joe Cronin's on the trip.
Okay.
So take that
for
what it's worth.
And look, the lineup change does make sense when you just think of the lineup that they were going up against, mm-hmm. right? Because I said they got a billion seven-footers on that team.
They went as big as they could with one offense.
They went Franz, Paolo, Wendell Carter, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Those are four of their five starters. Those guys are all long for their positions.
They're missing.
And that at that point.
Jalen Suggs.
Yeah. At that point, and they started Anthony Black at guard.
Who's 6'7".
And so you have Ant.
They were big as hell.
Ant was the scorer. It does make sense, especially with no DA, with no Donovan Clingan, right? That you try to get as long as you can, and that's why they went with Jeremy Grant, Robert Williams, Denny Advia, Tumani Kamara, and then Anthony Simons. Yeah. That makes sense from a matchup standpoint and why you would do that in addition to you don't lose your job to injury, right?
So there's a couple different ways that I'm interested to see where this goes because tonight Rob's out because it's a back-to-back. DA did tweak his knee the other night in Miami when he was playing really well. Right, it was about a minute and a half left in the game. He just did something weird and it was clearly bothering him on the bench. Donovan Clingan's making his return tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's a bit of ahead of schedule.
Listed as probable.
A game ahead, because I expected him to play against Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City's a really tough matchup for him, because they don't really have anybody for him to guard on most nights, because they play like a 6'7 center who's going to run him around and just drive him ragged. We saw that earlier in the season. Mark Williams for the Charlotte Hornets, he's been hooping, and he's a big-time roll dive guy.
Do we see a... they're not tanking the right way, right? But this we've talked about the ethical
that's
tank.
That's clear.
Yeah.
They're not succeeding at tanking right now. And that is going to be of concern come May, but...
If they reach a certain threshold, and I maintain this... They break that 22 win mark, it's a problem. And everybody's like, they're so close right now. I get it.
They're six away.
They also have shown
38 games to play.
They can win less than six games.
Okay.
We've seen them do it, unfortunately. We've seen them steer into that cliff pretty hard. Now, if they don't, then it is a problem.
Like, here's the confusing part. I don't know if this is... I'm so conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at it and you say, all right, you want young guys to develop. You want them to grow. You want them to play better. And if a win comes out of that, go ahead. Mm-hmm. That's good. That was not the case last night. The vets were like, we're gonna carry this one. And we're gonna be the guys carrying the load here. And that is one where you go, well, if you're winning games on guys that may not be here in the future, what does that do for you?
I 100% agree. And I wonder how different that does or doesn't look if Scoot doesn't pick up four fouls in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was something, man.
And you could tell. In that game, they were allowed to stab each other on drives. Like, the level of physicality they were allowing was crazy. And I was like, oh, this is not... Because when the game was that rock-fighty to start, I'm like, oh, this is playing into the Orlando Magic's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not the game you want to get into with a team full of 6'10 dudes who just put their head down and go. Like, they're going to win that in the long haul. But Scoot's fouls were so egregious, the refs were like, come on, dog. Can't do that.
What are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
So I look at that as a learning thing for him. But, yeah, I definitely was a little surprised by the lineup and Scoot's reaction by picking up that many fouls. When he came back in on for his last rotation, Joe Simons said, he goes, I'll bet you a Buffalo nickel that when it's all said and done, Scoot's the leading scorer tonight. I go, he's going to foul out before the 4 minute mark. I think he came in with like 7. And it wasn't a shot at him. It was.
No, it's just the flow of the game, the way he was playing.
And it was not even that. He had sat for so long with his fifth foul. For the most part, refs don't foul guys out when they're on 5. They don't. Like, you just end up, like, they know, like, unless you do something egregious, but when you're sitting for that long, they go, they lose track that you're on your fifth foul. And he was already crossed the line so many times that basically they were like.
Habitual line stepper.
Yeah, and he undercut a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, bro.
Which is cardinal rule number one, you don't do.
Yeah, and it's like, and it was what sucked was he throws an absolute dime to Jeremy Grant on the possession before. Right-hand drive, live dribble, picks the ball up, rips it across his chest, through the defense, right into the shooting pocket to Jeremy Grant for 3. And I was like, ooh, that's a pretty pass. Before I can press send on the tweet, boop, and I'm looking down, and Joe goes, there's 6. And I went, you're kidding. I thought he was trolling me because it was so quick. And I was like, oh, all right, here we go. But I'm interested to see tonight. I think that my reeling suspicion is that a message is sent tonight. And you might have the great suck-off of 2025.
Would this be a game that they're projected to win in the net and they lose?
I think so.
Okay. Because they've been picking up games that they've been winning 2 in a row.
They were 7.5-point dogs, the Magic, yesterday.
Yeah. Well,
and they were 6-point dogs to the Heat. Yeah. The great suck off.
Don't bet on the Blazers. It's a bad.
No, don't any in thing. Any way, shape, form, or capacity.
Over, it's under for, money
it,
line.
Do not touch
don't
it.
Do it. Just don't do it.
If you look at the Blazers with Vegas in basically everything, yeah, they're awful. If you guys are gonna suck, suck hard. That part.
Yeah. Go ahead. Do that. Do that. All right. We got some feedback on the Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. We'll get to that after us with SportsCenter. 503-864-6326 is the Vancouver 4 text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. Blazers win 101-79 in Orlando against the Magic. Back at it tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. Surprising win last night. This text coming in says, changing the lineup to match up better is great, but changing the lineup and benching Shea when he's on a hot streak, that just doesn't make sense.
What hot streak was Shaden on? Was that supposed to mean Scoot?
Yeah, that was, well, I think, yeah. But Shaden was brutal on the defensive end,
yeah,
of the
definitely
floor.
Not, and he's been okay offensively.
But Scoot, it's like, if that was meant for Scoot, and Scoot has been playing significantly better. You're going to send Anthony Simons to the bench?
Yeah, no.
That is where you want to lose a locker room right away. And, like, here's the thing about tanking and doing it the right way,
mm-hmm,
is
ethical
that
tanking.
You cannot take a vet who has proven himself and send him to the bench, because that is a flare that you're shooting into the air for every, and I know Blazers aren't good in free agency, but you want to trade for a veteran. That is a flare of veterans don't want to be there,
mm-hmm,
because there is a pecking order in the NBA. And Anthony Simons, no matter how you slice it, is better than Scoot Henderson is.
And you can make these decisions around the NBA after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Like, that's universally kind of accepted around the league. And what people don't want to talk about or admit is that there are other things that motivate these things, like incentives and games played and contracts and games started and all those kind of things. And there's a certain, I don't know, trying to think of the right word. There's a certain prestige. Like, if you're sending a guy to the bench and he's playing, not sitting out, but you bench Anthony Simons in the sense of, like, moving him to the bench when that is not where he is at in his career,
mm-hmm,
you do not do that.
That what you do is you shut him down.
Yes.
And you say you're not going to the bench. You're just not playing.
Yeah.
And that's accepted.
Yes. And but as long as wink, wink, handshake, nudge, nudge, contracts and such incentives are being met.
I like this. I like this text. Blazers even don't know how to tank. They should have stayed the extra night in Miami. Now that I can get on board with. If you're not trying to win games, just stay that extra night in South Beach. Don't go to Orlando.
They had fun.
That's what I said last night on the Twitters is this team can't even be good at being bad.
Stay in Miami, let them let loose, and you know, you're definitely not going to win that game in Orlando.
I mean, there's no version of this team that loses to Orlando last night. Like it was.
I think if you get hungover enough.
It was generational suck.
Yeah, it was really
bad. Was, guys, I literally just pulled this up.
Yeah.
The team that has played as bad as the Orlando Magic has played last night, or played last night, wins less than 1% of the time.
Yeah.
It was like point two, in fact. 0.2% of the time. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Why not start the small backcourt? We would lose. Yes, please. Again, coaches and players don't tank.
Yeah. And again, you're not starting Chimani. And Two's not going to lose his starting spot to injury.
Well, I don't think Two should lose his starting spot to anybody. He is.
He's your sweet, sweet angel.
He is.
I get it. I love Two.
He will not be wrong in my eyes. I love him.
So, you know, it's. And for all of the, you know, you got to change Jeremy Grant. Well, you got to show that he's healthy. And to do that, he's got to play. And he's been back on the floor. And I think he's been playing incredibly well defensively since he's come back.
Yeah, under 2 weeks till the trade deadline. Maybe last night was a jumping off point for both franchises, though. You know, we've heard, how many times has Anthony Simons and Orlando been linked together? Yeah. He's from Orlando. That trade was floated out the last two seasons.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Franz Wagner returning and like, hey, maybe we should do this.
I think the Magic are probably motivated to do some things. And again, like I said, Joe Cronin was on this trip. I would imagine that they probably talked some things through, you know. Who knows if something actually comes out of it? But yeah, I would imagine. And not only that, I think Anthony Simons and the Trailblazers front office are at a point now where this summer and last year, they weren't crossing that bridge of like being open to a move, where I think that has changed.
Yeah. All right.
So,
side note, sidebar on that.
Mm.
Not a lot of good was coming out of Orlando. I kind of liked the Colorado rookie, Tristan Da Silva.
Oh, no. Tristan's a good player.
I liked him.
Good player.
Yeah.
Very good player. Yeah, I was...
All right. That's my sidebar. You know,
very much liked him. He's a NBA-ready role player and another example of NIL being good for basketball.
Yep.
Go back to Colorado for another year. Don't be a second-round guy. Come back, be the 18th pick, and be a really, really solid pro.
Bingo.
Yeah. So that way you don't get washed out of the league.
All right. 503-864-6326. That to be the Vancouver Ford text line. Before we get to the hirings, let's get to the surprise firing in the NFL. This one kind of caught me by surprise. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Houston Texans fired offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick today.
Come to Vegas, baby.
That was an interesting move.
After firing their president, what the hell is going on over there?
Well, they had one down year. One down year. Now it's time to...
The down year is after going to back-to-back playoffs and losing to the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That's the one right there. Well, there was some consternation with the Houston Texans offense this year because they were at year one with CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick. Remember, Bobby Slowick was the hot young coordinator name alongside Ben Johnson last year for head coaching gigs. Like, it was like Ben Johnson, Bobby Slowick, oh, they're both going back because they feel like they have unfinished business. And Bobby Slowick this year was widely criticized. And he was even, D'Amico Ryans was even asked after the game, in their playoff game that they lost, what he was going to do with his offensive coordinator. He says, give me some time, I need to evaluate it. And on the surface, you have a quarterback in his second year. Sophomore slumps happen. Like, statistically... Mm-hmm. There is a regress because defensive coordinators are really good. They do slow down a little bit.
They take away the things you want.
The great ones still find a way to win games, and that's what C.J. Stroud did. But I think the biggest issue, it was not C.J. Stroud, and I don't even think it was play calling. They also fired both of their offensive line coaches, their head O-line coach and their assistant offensive line coach. They were absolutely god-awful offensively in the trenches. And it wasn't just allowing eight sacks in that divisional round game against Kansas City. It was how many penalties they had over the course of the year. Like, they were just absolutely in disarray for large chunks of the season. I think Pro Football Focus had them as, like, as far as, like, quick pressure, seventh in the NFL. C.J. Stroud was under pressure, the seventh fastest. Mm-hmm. Like, that is bananas.
Yeah. It's very clear where they need to go in the draft.
Yeah, maybe bolster that. But even more concerning, and this is where it kind of falls on Bobby Slowick, is that in the second half of games, their offense was far less productive than it was in the first half.
The Cliff Kingsbury experience?
Well, as a head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, yeah. As an offensive coordinator, he can dial it up in the second half.
Although they started to say that was a problem this year with the Commanders. Yeah. It was like,
well, that was okay. The second half of the season.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking individual games. Sure. Second half of the game, each mm-hmm. game was far, far worse than it was in the first half. And that is, all right, adjustments, play calling. All right, what
scripted
are you doing over the course of a game to say, all right, they're going to take this away. What are we going to do to counter that? And I think this move, very reactionary, though. Think of all the injuries that they had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go out, they get the acquisition of Stephon Diggs, tears his ACL. Mm-hmm. Tank Dell, mm-hmm. he blows up his entire lower leg.
Dalton Schultz has been in and out of the lineup for most of the season.
Nico Collins also was injured and in and out of the lineup over the course of this year. It's like,
Mixon's been dinged up. Like, you just look at their offense has been dinged up all year.
And obviously you're not going to produce as well offensively. There's got to be more there, you know? Especially when you hear a guy who is so revered as he was last year in Slowick. And then this year, it's like all of those slow leaks over the course of a season that get out organizationally. And then you have a week after the season's over, he's gone. There's something more to that. Whether it was butting heads with D'Amico Ryans, maybe he was, you know, feeling himself a little bit too much as the young, hot coordinator, and ego may have gotten in the way mm-hmm. of production and preparation.
Wouldn't be the first time.
It wouldn't be, but...
Not for him, but I'm just talking in NFL in general.
We don't know exactly what was going on.
There's something clearly going on in Houston when the president and the offensive coordinator get fired after the draft class they've had in the last 2 years, after the production they've had, after the shift of what they've had, and this is the Jaguars. That's what they do.
Yeah.
You fire your president, you fire your GM, you fire your coaches and coordinators because you're not delivering. Where are the Texans not delivering?
It's a good question.
Like, if you're an organization
against the Chiefs.
Yeah, again, if you're an organization right now and you're looking at this, you want this opportunity.
But
this is good.
I wonder, like, they have Nick Caserio, who's their general manager. Mm-hmm. He's really damn good at what he does. I think that may be where the president is going, you know? I didn't even see that they fired their president.
Yeah, it happened yesterday. Yeah. Just, by the way. It was originally announced, I think, by Tom Pelissero as a firing, and then it was clarified in a statement. He said, edited to reflect proper language. It was a mutual parting of ways.
Oh, okay.
Either way, man's not there. He's getting paid to go away.
Right. But they are headed we're heading in the right direction.
Like, that's what I mean.
If you could put it together, you're there.
What? I understand if you don't think you're there and you make some changes, like... If you're ascending the mountaintop and you're just running up against it, you're in year two.
Thus, a bit confusing.
But, I mean, isn't that also the Tommy Boy leadership that's on
the team?
You're
not wrong there. You're not wrong there. Because it really is. They do call him Tommy Boy because mm-hmm. he took over for his dad. And Cal McNair is his name. Bob McNair died, and Cal McNair is the new guy. In Houston, they call him Tommy Boy. Because he's running the family business, and his middle name is Calhoun.
So close to Callahan.
It really is.
So close.
It really is. But that was a confusing one. But now you said bring him to the Raiders. Will Bobby Slowick land on his feet and do it in short order? Heck, there's still a couple head coaching vacancies out there that. Who knows what happens, because two teams are desperate. We saw two more head coaching vacancies filled over the last 24 hours.
Oh.
The Raiders and Jags get their guy, and there is storylines aplenty behind both of them. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.